Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Glad you could be with us for this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is my colleague, Eric Johnson, but also we have Pastor Rodney Zediker from Ephraim, telling us his story of how he migrated from the state of beautiful state of Washington to the state of Utah and ministering in the heart of Mormon country here in Ephraim, Utah. Now, you've come out here, as we talked about yesterday, mm-hmm. You came out here basically on a missions trip, went to the Mormon Miracle Pageant,
right?
Had experiences down on Temple Square. Now, how many years before eventually you're asked to come out and actually take a church here?
Well, we weren't really sure what that was going to look like. We had no idea the first year we came what God was going to do in our own hearts. One experience, we had a friend from Washington that moved here to help with a church plant up in Draper. And we, at the time, thought they were crazy. Why in the world would you leave Washington and go to the desert? What's out there? And we stayed in contact. Well, when we started taking teams, my wife would either be pregnant or nursing our, one of our kids. She would fly out and stay with them. I would drive the van with our team. She went to their church one of these times, and there was a map of the state of Utah, and it showed all the ward and stake centers, the Mormon meeting places, in one color tack, and then it had another pin for the evangelical churches that church was aware of, anything that was considered Christian. And it was just a dramatic visual for her that she said, I can't believe how the state is just covered with Mormonism, and there is no witness for Christ hardly anywhere. Mm. And to us, my wife's a nurse. She's always had a heart for missions. I've always had a heart for missions, unreached people groups. And we at that point, we realized right here in the middle of the United States, there is an unreached people group. It's the Mormon faith, and there are so few people that are coming here to do any sort of work spreading the true gospel of Jesus Christ.
Do you think that might be because many Christians have been led to believe by the media or even by some misinformed professing Christians that there's really not that big of a difference between us in our theology?
Absolutely.
And they figure, well, what's the point?
Absolutely.
I mean, Mormons do carry Bibles with them. They do talk about Jesus mm-hmm. Christ, okay? They do seem to have a Christian language, if
yes.
you will, even though we know that they define those terms very differently than we do. I have found in my experience, and I'm sure yours is the same, that a lot of people just naturally assume because Mormonism contains all those mm-hmm. elements that this is not really an area that is worth evangelizing.
Sure.
And it's so tragic because these are beautiful people here.
Yes.
I mean, you can't help but fall in love with the Mormon mm-hmm. people. They, as a part of their religion, they are wanting to, help you and do whatever mm-hmm. they can. And unfortunately, of course, they do equate their moralism with Christianity,
right.
which is a stumbling block for them, really. Their mm-hmm. good works, folks, actually get in their way
yes.
because a lot of them will point to their good works as somehow qualifying them as Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And we hear it all the time. We hear it on the streets. But bringing youth groups out here mm-hmm. is certainly a way to open the eyes of the young people.
Absolutely.
You've seen that. I've seen that. Eric's seen that because we've all trained young mm-hmm. groups that have come up here and it's just changed their lives. And we can't help but encourage other churches to do the same. So, okay, now you're going to come out here. You're going to take over this church.
Okay.
That's kind of an interesting way of putting it. But
it's not quite the way it happened.
Yeah. Tell us the story. I mean,
sure.
why did you feel God was actually moving on your heart to come here? Because this is as you've already mentioned, this is a very unique field. A lot
yeah.
of people come to Utah to start churches, and they don't succeed.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that there's plenty of people to talk to,
yeah.
but they just don't make it in this environment.
Sure.
But you did. How did you do that?
It's no credit to me at all. It was God at work. And in the whole process, it was my wife and I seeking the Lord and saying, okay, we feel like you've honed in on the Mormon people and the state of Utah as our mission field, and what will that look like? I had a good job in Washington. I was able to volunteer as the youth pastor of our church. Absolutely loved it there. I enjoy hiking in the outdoors, so it was a dream, you know, place for me to live. But we said, you know what, we want to go where God wants us to be, and we want to be in the place where God can use our particular giftings and abilities to the maximum. And so we started praying about what that would look like. We explored the options of just finding work out here and moving, maybe starting a Bible study, working with an existing church that needed a pastor, possibly planting a church. We really didn't have any idea what that would look like. The one thing we knew was it wouldn't be Ephraim, because there was already a good church here with a great pastor, and so we wanted to go somewhere where there wasn't and there was really a need. Through the process of getting to know the ministry here and Chip and getting on his emails, hearing what the Lord was doing here, that was at the point where they were able to purchase the college house and start the college ministry, and just prayerfully watching that be birthed was amazing. We were excited. We thought, well, maybe we should move there and help out with the college ministry. And we just didn't know what God would call us to do. He had been working in my heart, gradually moving me from youth ministry to more adult ministry, but just really wanted to be open to whatever it was He wanted for us. And one day I was mowing the lawn in the backyard at our home in Washington, and my wife came running out the back door, waved me down, and had me come in. And I thought, well, what happened? And she brings me to the computer and has me read an email. I thought, you made me stop the lawnmower for this? That's crazy. And as I read Chip's email saying, you know, the college ministry has just taken off, God is blessing, and it's just too much for me to do. And the next line I never in a million years expected. He says, I need to step down from the pastoral ministry to run the college ministry full time, which I would have expected the other way around. But my jaw dropped, and I thought, I know what you're thinking, and no, that's not me. That can't be me. I can't in a million years fill Chip's shoes. I'm not, you know, adequate or qualified for that. And no, I can't do that. And I had several different friends call me and say, did you get Chip's email? Yes, that's you. And I said, no, it's not me. It can't be me. Keith and Becky are friends. We found out later that they came to town to, Becky was speaking at a women's retreat for the church here in Ephraim. And I had finally surrendered a little bit and said, okay, I'll go ahead and send in an application and just put it in the Lord's hands, see what He does with that. And Becky and Keith had been praying that when they got Chip's email, they also said, oh, that's Rodney, Indiana. That's where they need to be. And but they said, you know what, if God's doing that, He'll tell them, we won't have to. So they didn't say a word to us until Becky was here and the church got my application, and I had referenced Keith and Becky as references. They came to Becky and said, tell us what you know about Rodney and Deanna, because they're applying. She instantly was jumping up and down, calling us, saying, we've been praying this. And so it was just another confirmation that, you know, we were feeling very inadequate and very stepping out of our comfort zone, but so many different people were looking in and saying, you know, no, we see this thing all just coming together in just a God orchestrated way.
Now, you came into a situation where you basically had a congregation.
Yeah.
And a lot of people who come up to do church planning, they don't have that. So they're basically, they'll come up with maybe a few families, and that's their core. Any suggestions that you might have for a pastor coming to Utah? Because I have talked to several pastors. In fact, the church I attend, Lifeline Community, that was a church plant not too terribly long ago. And it is certainly different,
absolutely,
church planting in Utah than any other place in the United States. And I've heard pastors say, it's not like Texas where you can just throw up a sign on a street corner and you're going to have a congregation.
Right.
It's not like that.
Right.
It takes a lot of work. But even with a core membership that you had, it's still a struggle in a place like Utah, because,
absolutely,
let's be serious, they have the people around here already have their religion.
Right.
And they'll let you know that.
Yep.
And they're not quick to leave it. Neither are the people around them quick to see them go. What kind of suggestion would you have in just a couple minutes?
Well, I'm no expert because, as you mentioned, I didn't plant the church. I was spoiled. I did, you know, was able to move in with a functioning church and basically fulfill the role of a pastor and not need so much to, although that's part of it, but not need to focus on evangelism as much. Chip had laid a significant groundwork that was already established. I came to pastor the church and shepherd the people to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And they, you know, each of them has family that's in the LDS church. They have co-workers. They have their spheres of influence that I would never in a million years gain access to. But as they're being fed God's word on a consistent basis, growing in their faith, in their walk with the Lord, having their foundation built for them to where they feel confident in God's word and equipped to share it with people around them, they in turn go out and do the evangelism, and God works through that. So my role is more of the pastor teacher, where I'm equipping our people that we already had to do that work. For a church planter, I would say, you know, you have to do that evangelism, but I think when you get those few core people, equip them and just pour your heart and life into them, disciple them to the point where they can come alongside you in the ministry.
The one thing that I kind of walk away from in talking to those that have church planted or have churches here in Utah is you have to have a lot of patience.
Yes.
If you don't have the patience, if you think you're going to all of a sudden have a mega church, you know, over a period of a few years, you're going to definitely be disappointed.
Yes.
It doesn't work that way here in Utah. But there are a lot of very successful churches, and I think people need to know the ones that I find that are successful here in Utah are the ones that don't shy away from the Mormon issue.
Sure.
They meet it head on. They do it in a Christ-honoring way. Mm-hmm. And there's a certain tactic that you can use, a strategy that you need to use. But it has to be addressed at some point because they are the people that are going to be coming and visiting our churches.
Right.
And you want them to hear what the gospel has to say.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Is there not much of a difference between Mormonism and Christianity? Well, actually, despite what many may think, there is. And when it comes to the sensitive and even highly charged issue that has eternal ramifications, the Christian may not know where to turn. Just trying to understand the Mormons' beliefs can be both confusing and frustrating. That's why Mormonism 101 was written, a book resource by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson that contrasts vital doctrines such as who is God, what is Scripture, and how a person is able to go to heaven. When the two religions are placed side by side, the differences are many. Mormonism 101 is a tool that will help you better understand the doctrines of your Latter-day Saint friend, family member, or co-worker. And it even has witnessing tips available to help you in future conversations. Published by Baker Books, Mormonism 101 is available at mrm.org or ask for it at your favorite Christian bookstore. As 1 Peter 3 says, always be prepared to give an answer.